You're listening to the Orlando Sentinel's College Gridiron 365 podcast. Hosts Brant Parsons and Matt Mershell give their perspective on the hottest topics in college football. Now let's get on with the show.
And welcome to another edition of the College Gridiron 365 podcast. I'm Brant Parsons with Matt Mershell back in the Sentinel studios again today. So we get to look at each other while we're doing the podcast.
We actually get to see each other.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
It's always good to be in person. It's always good to have you around, Brant. Come on.
All right. Last night, we're recording this on Wednesday. Last night, the rankings came out. So a new look, perhaps, at how much these games mean now that we know how the committee is going to look at games and wins and losses and such of that. I don't have the count right in front of me. Six or seven games this weekend involving top 25 teams. Mm-hmm. Some challenging games for some teams in the top six that we're going to go over. But basically, this podcast, we're not going to spend a lot. We've already talked about the rankings. We don't need to spend a lot of time on them now. We can use them in context of these games. But some big games this weekend, and let's start off with noon. And this is a game that is outside of the top six, but Penn State, after blowing 18-point leads twice in Columbus, they go on the road now against Michigan State. Penn State, I'm going to be honest with you, with that loss, Ohio State, without big wins now on their schedule as Michigan has fallen apart. And this is might be Penn State's last chance to really make a statement, because they're unlikely to play in the Big Ten championship game unless Ohio State loses two games down the stretch. But this is one of their last cases where they can say, hey, look at us still. Penn State's a great football team, and they showed it on Saturday. But they'll go to Michigan State. They're lucky. They get Michigan State still ranked at 24, so they'll get that part of it. But I think this is just a game where Penn State wants to get their feet back under them. They're a long shot. Even at number seven, I think they're a long shot for the playoff. But this is a chance for them to get that quality win and make a statement. I think they need to win this game big.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you know, I think because of the fact they're looking at a situation that's similar to what Ohio State went through last year, where, you know, they kind of don't control their own destiny, so to speak, when it comes to, you know, trying to win the Big Ten championship. They're on the team on the outside looking in. They've got to finish out. They've got to win out, obviously, all their games. They got to do it in an impressive fashion. And they've got to hope that maybe at some stretch down the imagination, teams above them lose and they can maybe kind of slide their way up there. I agree with you. I just think outside of this win, Michigan, you know, lost a little bit of that luster now that they've kind of struggled a little bit. If Michigan loses again, let's say to Ohio State, that also knocks them down a little bit. So to me, I think Penn State's playoff chances are on life support right now. But again, you're still also in the possibility of a good bowl game. So to me,
There still could be chaos at the top.
I mean, we're still a month. We still got a month left. I'm not saying it's impossible.
It is out of their destiny and out of their control. And the thing that doesn't compare them to Ohio State last year is Ohio State, they got into the playoff right or wrong, despite not winning the Big Ten, because they had that win over Oklahoma. And you look at Penn State's schedule, they don't have that signature win just because of the way their schedule laid out this year.
Yeah, and I think to them, they just need to focus on what's ahead of them. I mean, they have to, you know, they have to get focused on this game. You know, Saquon Barkley, and you need to get him back and going again. You know, he took a little bit of a step back. It's kind of funny. He had that opening kickoff, was it 97 yards for the touchdown to open up that game against Ohio State. Later on, added another touchdown run. You kind of thought this was going to be your highest.
And that was it.
And that was it.
I mean, literally, that was it. He had a 36-yard touchdown run. I think he ended up with 40 yards. Yes. I mean, he was just shut down. They were in the backfield all day long in that game.
Yeah, and that kind of really kind of set back his high. So, I mean, in a way, there's a lot on the line here. Barkley needs to have another strong performance. I think if JT Barrett continues to play the way he's been playing, lights out, I think Barkley may end up somehow falling behind in the Heisman race. So there's a lot of things in the factor here, but to me, I think, again, going on the road for the second consecutive week, I think James Franklin needs to get his team focused and back on track. If not, you know, Michigan State, listen, the winner of this game is number two in the East. So, I mean, there's still a lot on the line for these two teams. I think Michigan State, great story about them. They struggled last year, only won three games. Now they're in a position to be number two in the East. You know, they're already bowl eligible. They need to kind of come out and play strong. They suffered a really bad loss last weekend, a three overtime loss to Northwestern. They need to bounce back. So two teams that really are looking for a bounce back game.
Another game taking place on Saturday afternoon, a 3:30 game. And Matt, I think a lot of people may have been shocked by the placement of Clemson in the first rankings. They made it in at number four despite a loss at Syracuse. They were forgiven for losing their quarterback in that game, which is fair in that that's why they lost. But everybody has injuries and you lose games because of it. But the committee gave them credit for that. They gave them credit for a really strong schedule that Clemson played in the beginning of the year, including that win over Auburn, which continues to look better as Auburn plays well. So they're at number four, and they go on the road against NC State. NC State reeling now off of having to go to Notre Dame and getting pushed around by the Fighting Irish. Notre Dame is that de facto ACC member. They play five ACC teams a season. You know, they are in the ACC and other sports. But that loss doesn't affect NC State in the ACC schedule. Their standings, they're still undefeated in conference play. Their two losses are to Notre Dame and South Carolina. So they are still in control of their own destiny. They get Clemson at home. If NC State can bounce back and wins this, they're in the ACC title game. I mean, their losses, while stung, have not hurt them. Clemson's loss was to Syracuse. They already have a loss in the ACC. So there's a lot on the line, and it's not just for the national playoff picture, which we talk about so much, but even in an ACC divisional level, NC State can really go a long way to wrapping that up with a win over Clemson.
Oh, and imagine this. NC State has a possibility to beat not only Florida State, Louisville, but possibly Clemson, too, in the same season, which would be unheard of. You know, Dave Dorn was a guy who was kind of a little bit on the hot seat. You know, we think about a couple of years ago, I think people thought this program should have been maybe farther along than it was. And now you're here right now. I'm going to throw us back to a little bit to the national picture. The team rooting the hardest for NC State to get this win has got to be Notre Dame, because Notre Dame now has that win against NC State last week. If NC State were to beat Clemson, that kind of helps their case. That makes the case of being a stronger, you know, strength of schedule. That helps maybe kind of cement them. And we know that Notre Dame, as you mentioned, they're not a conference affiliated. They don't have a championship game. So for them, every team that they've played, beaten, if they can have bigger wins, that just helps them in the long run. So this is kind of one of those games that, you know, you definitely see the impact of it. Obviously, you know, the Atlantic is on the line here. Clemson looks like the team that people feel like, the selection committee obviously feels like it's the best team. The ACC has had a team in 20 straight college football playoff rankings, so, you know, it doesn't surprise me they got Clemson in this time. I like what Clemson's doing. I think now they have a little time off. I think they're going to kind of come back. And again, you know, I think defensively they're a little stronger. We saw what the defense was able to do, you know, Notre Dame did last week to NC State. So I like Clemson in this game.
Remember, NC State put a scare in Clemson last year.
Yes.
When NC State wasn't that good. If they had a decent kicker, we probably aren't talking about Clemson being a defending national champion. So
yes,
we know they can match up well. That game's at 3:30 on ABC, a national afternoon game. Another national afternoon game on Fox Sports 1, it's Bedlam. Oklahoma travels to Oklahoma State, number 5 versus number 11. One of the big stories from the rankings is that Oklahoma got that number 5 spot ahead of Ohio State. There was some question whether they would go head-to-head as more important, or play since the game is more important, because Ohio State has that big win over then number 2 Penn State. They've been playing better. Oklahoma has not been playing as well, but they did get that nod, at least to start with, over Ohio State. This is a game that could really kind of separate them from Ohio State, because they're now playing a top 11 team in Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, that offense, we know what it can do. It has been shut down at times. The key thing I'm watching in this one is Oklahoma's defense has not looked as strong as it did since that game in Columbus. Iowa State moved the ball well over them. Baylor's moved. I mean, they've had these games where these teams have moved the ball well against them. Oklahoma State can move the ball well. So they may put some pressure on Oklahoma just by scoring more points than them. I don't expect this to be a defensive tussle. But if there's an offense that can give you fits, it's Oklahoma State. And if they haven't fixed the defensive issues in Norman, this game on the road at Boone Pickens Stadium will be a tough one for the Sooners.
Yeah, I mean, I expect this, by all accounts, to be a shootout. I don't expect this to be a defensive battle. I think you're going to see a lot of points, a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns. I mean, again, Baker Mayfield, the Oklahoma quarterback, is looking to improve to 3-0 against Oklahoma State. He's had a strong performance. You know, he's a guy still kind of in the mix for the Heisman when we talk about, you know, some quarterbacks still out there. And, you know, again, this is a game the Big 12 needs this game really badly, because, you know, this is probably going to be the one of the two teams is going to end up playing in the Big 12 championship. Whoever loses this game has two losses. You're probably out of the playoff mix more than likely. We haven't had a two-loss team in the playoffs. So, again, lots on the line in this game, and I think you're going to see, you know, a lot of points scored.
This game will start at 4. It might be 9:30 by the time it ends. Yes. With all the scoring going on in this one. A couple weeks ago, you were doing an Ed Orgeron imitation because we were making fun of him and making fun of the Tigers. And now they are ranked number 19 in the country. And they are now the best team Alabama has faced because Alabama comes into this game ranked number one everywhere except for the rankings, where they are number two. The Crimson Tide have looked dominant, and they've beaten nobody. And there's you beat who's on your schedule. You can't fault them for that. But this will be their second test, because I'm not going to take credit away from Florida State, because Florida State was a better football team in that first game than they are right now, obviously. But this is the second test for the Crimson Tide to see just how legit and real they are. And they get LSU at home in that traditional, what has become a tradition, Saturday night game on CBS. The place will be rocking, and LSU still finding their identity, but now they get a chance to be spoiler in the SEC West.
Yeah, and this is one of those situations. I talked about this to people yesterday that, you know, here's Alabama right now. They come in at number two in the playoff rankings. People are kind of a little bit outraged. Why aren't they number one? As you mentioned, their schedule maybe because they haven't played as strong. This is a game where I could see Alabama winning this game and then pushing themselves in the top spot next week, just because of the fact that Georgia, you know, I mean, I don't think the schedule is going to favor them this week in that regards. And that's what we're going to see in these playoff rankings week to week. You're going to see some teams maybe move around. Again, Alabama, this is a big test for them. You know, LSU's always one of those games that seems to be, you know, the case. Ed Orgeron is 0-4 against Alabama as a head coach, 0-1 lost last year, you know, with the Tigers. So, to me, I still think Alabama wins this game. I mean, Nick Saban always continues to find ways to win these big games. I think he does it again this time around. I think Ed Orgeron's job is safe. I know people were, you know, we talked maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago about how Ed, you know, maybe it would have been one of those guys on the hot seat out maybe for after first year because of the way they've struggled, especially if this game is somehow close. I think his job is safe. But again, this is a key game for you know, the SEC and the key game for the SEC West, because, you know, if this game turns out to be another blowout, we're back on that whole narrative of just Alabama and Georgia once again in the SEC.
And another game taking place on Saturday night. A team that, if they were angry about their ranking in the playoff, I think they're wrong. The Miami Hurricanes, they're undefeated. They're at number 10. And I'm still not convinced, but you got to win games, and they've won games close. North Carolina was kept in that game much too long this past weekend. But now their schedule gets tougher, and they get tested. And now the Coastal is on the line. Virginia Tech comes to visit on Saturday night, and we're really going to see just how good Mark Richt's team is against a Virginia Tech team that can play with the best of them if they're playing as well as they can.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, I think this is, people would never have thought, I guess, before the season that this is going to be the game, really, that if Miami beats Virginia Tech and Virginia loses to Georgia Tech, they wrapped up the Coastal Saturday night.
First ever division ACC title for Miami, if that happens.
And they locked themselves in a spot for that playoff. I understand why Miami fans are a little bit upset that they're at 10. But again, the last four games, they've won by single digits. I mean, the when you look at it, I think it's 8.6 points per game average, you know, in the last four games. Winning, you know, deficit. So to me, I mean, Miami hasn't played their complete game. They haven't looked like that complete team. I think last time maybe it was close was maybe the Duke game, but they just haven't these last. You can't turn the ball over. Listen, last week against North Carolina, they fumbled the ball with 2.5 minutes left in the game.
Unbelievable.
Basically giving, you know, North Carolina a chance to beat them, and then they luckily got the ball back on another fumble.
So, if North Carolina had any semblance of a football team, they win that game.
So again, and you look at the fact that, you know, close win against Florida State, close win, you know, against Georgia Tech. I know the playoff selection committee members looked at that and kind of one of the reasons why they put them at 10. But if you beat Virginia Tech and you beat Notre Dame the following week, you're right there. You're probably at number 5 or number 6 when those rankings come out. So they've got a tall test ahead of them. I think that Virginia Tech, obviously, with their defense, Bud Foster likes to put out one of the best defenses. I think they're the number 2 team in the country at scoring defense, about 12 points per game. that's going to be the challenge, is can Miami muster up enough points and can their defense do enough to shut down Virginia Tech to get a win here?
Two more top 25 games, which I think tells you the status of the Pac-12 and that we're hardly even going to mention them. But number 21 Stanford visits number 25 Washington State, and number 22 Arizona visits number 17 USC. That's a late, late night game. And I bring them up just to give them credit for being top 25 games, but Arizona is coming on as a team that is under our, has been under our radar. They get a chance against USC to really start getting themselves in the mix for a Pac-12 title. I think we've kind of written off the Pac-12 on the national playoff scale, but Arizona has just come out of nowhere to us, maybe not to them, but playing some really good football. And now they get a chance to go on the road and really test to see just how good a season they're having if they can knock off USC.
Here's a guy, Khalil Tate, you know, the Arizona quarterback. Guy, really talk about someone coming on that really no one was talking about before the season started. Here's a guy now that's got over 1,600 total yards of offense. He's got 14 total touchdowns, only three interceptions. You saw what he did last week against Washington State. This Arizona team is coming on at the right time. Listen, this is going to be huge for them. Rich Rod came about maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, about a month ago. Rich Rod was one of those guys who was on the hot seat. I think there are a lot of people wondering whether or not he was going to be back at Arizona. They got a new athletic director. They're kind of looking at the situation, thinking, is this time to maybe make a change? Now they're 6-2, 4-1 in the conference. They beat USC. They're right in that mix for that, you know, the division, the South Division title. And then, you know, again, you've got Stanford in the other game playing Washington State. Stanford with a two-loss team, they could get themselves maybe a bigger kind of lead, so to speak, in the North Division as well before they hook up with Washington.
And they're coming off that just horrific game against Oregon State.
How much does Bryce Love mean to, the Stanford program?
That should win the Heisman right there. Yes. When you watch how terrible Stanford was against a awful Oregon State team, and without him, without Love in the game, that should show you right there that he's the Heisman winner, because he is everything to that team, because they were putrid on offense.
And there's another team we talked about earlier, about Notre Dame needing, you know, NC State to play well. You know, Notre Dame needs Stanford to play well, because that's the game that they're going to have at the very end of the season. And since they don't have that conference championship game, they want Stanford to be ranked as high as possible so they can win. If they beat them, that gives them a big push.
Matt, there's a segment on the show that isn't named yet. Maybe it should be, but when I take two games or two or a couple games where the two teams don't seem like it should be a close game, it's a high-ranked team, and I say, which team do you think is in the most danger? And we laugh, ha, ha, ha. We try to come up with one. We've done it twice, and upsets have happened twice. So let's try it again, see if we can cause another upset in the college football world on Saturday. I'm going to talk about three games. You tell me which one to you seems like it could be the most dangerous for the ranked team. We have number one, Georgia. They get home coming off that big win over Florida. They get South Carolina on Saturday afternoon. Notre Dame coming off a couple big wins in a row. Get Wake Forest visiting South Bend at 3:30. And also another 3:30 game, Ohio State goes on the road to play Iowa, a team that just frustrates you. And they've had some close games. They should have beat Penn State. Ohio State coming off a win over Penn State, looking ahead to Michigan State, perhaps that could be a tough one. So out of those, Georgia, Notre Dame, Ohio State, those three teams in the top six, which of those are you watching to see if maybe there's a chance they could have a slip up this weekend?
Well, I'm probably going to look at that Ohio State-Iowa game, you know, just because Ohio State goes on the road. You look at a situation where they're coming off a very emotional win, come from behind win over Penn State. You know, you find yourself at number six in the playoff rankings. I think there's, you know, there's a possibility of a letdown in your on the road. And we know that, obviously, playing at Iowa is a difficult place to play at. To me, I think that's definitely a game to watch. I mean, Notre Dame would be my number two if we're going to rank those, because, again, I think Notre Dame, lots of buzz. Oh, my gosh, you're number three in the rankings. You know, you came off that big win at NC State. You maybe overlook Wake Forest a little bit. Wake Forest is a very good team. They're not. This isn't the Wake Forest of maybe 4 or 5 years ago. This is a pretty good team. I would have said Georgia in the beginning with South Carolina, just because South Carolina's playing well. But after watching Georgia dismantle Florida, and don't get me wrong, I mean, Florida's a bad team, but I mean, this Georgia team has a lot. This looks like a complete team for the first time in a long time. The offensive line has done a great job of creating tremendous, you know, holes for the running backs. Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel are two of the best running backs, you know, that you'll see in college football. And I think Jake Fromm is playing just as well as anyone. So I think they'll end that game, convincingly. So I would actually say Ohio State, to be honest with you, because I think that's a game to me that just has a potential for being an upset. Although JT Barrett has been playing lights out the last six games.
And I get it, and I agree with you on the Georgia South Carolina. I love what Will Muschamp is doing with the Gamecocks. They are a better team. I'm looking forward to their game against Florida because I think they're going to be pumped up to win that game for Boom. But I don't see them being able to run with Georgia right now. Georgia's just too hot. I'm with you. I think Ohio State beat Penn State. We didn't talk about it the next day, but I got to tell you, the worst game I've ever seen a team play to beat a number two team. I mean, they did great on their defensive line. Was great. JT Barrett was great, especially in the second half when he brought him back 16 straight completions. But special teams errors and stupid penalties and fumbles and bad read option plays, and they were able to pull it off. So do they, if they fix those things and don't get too wrapped up in the fact that they beat Penn State, then they're a better team than Iowa. But when you get on the road and it's in the Big Ten, you got to go to play at Iowa, and you know how tough that they're going to be at Kinnick. That to me is the one to watch also, because not just the letdown, but Ohio State, as well as they've been playing, they still haven't fixed some of their problems. And a team like Iowa can take advantage of those problems. And next thing you know, you're behind Iowa and you got to come back, and it just doesn't happen. That's the game I'm watching. As far as one of those potential, I'm holding up air quotes, shocking upsets this weekend.
Well, yeah, and then, you know, if you're one of those people that loves chaos, you know, then you know, you're thinking, well, it would be just you know, ironic, or what, you know, it would just be, you know, to see an Ohio State team lose to Iowa the following week, kind of throw up the whole, you know, the Big Ten East. And then, you know, you look at like the Bedlam game that we talked about earlier with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. If Oklahoma were to lose that game, I mean, you could really shake things up and kind of maybe change some things around. So there are a lot of teams that want that. Penn State, I'm sure, is one of them, and a couple other teams that would love to see that happen. But yeah, of those three, I like that Ohio State.
Big weekend. Seven games involving top 25 teams, and six or five of those seven games involve things that are going to affect the college football playoff picture. So a huge day of football on Saturday. We will talk to you again after it. We'll look back at what happened. Maybe we'll have some big upsets to talk about, or maybe we'll be talking about how nothing happened, nothing changed, everything played out. But that hasn't happened yet this season. I don't expect it to on Saturday. For Matt Michelle, I'm Brent Parsons. Thanks for listening to the College Gridiron 365 podcast. Subscribe, share us on social media, and as always, rate us and say nice things in the comments, because we like that. But we'll be talking to you again very soon.
The College Gridiron 365 podcast is produced by the Orlando Sentinel and hosted by Brant Parsons and Matt Michelle. Come back often and be sure to add the College Gridiron 365 podcast to your RSS and iTunes feeds. Follow everything college football at OrlandoSentinel.com.